Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking Up Music Education. I'm thrilled to have with me a wonderful NAMM member, friend, colleague, former president of the NAMM Young Professionals Organization, Mark Despotakis. Mark, how are you today?
I'm great, Mary. How are you?
Tell us where you are today and what you do every day.
So I'm calling today from just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm calling from my office here at Progressive Music, where I'm the director of market development. So Progressive Music is a company that services school music programs all across Western Pennsylvania. So we're the folks that rent instruments to kids, sell music and instruments to schools. And what I always say is that we also are psychiatrists for music teachers, because we're the folks that are going in and talking to music teachers daily who understand what they're going through and what their day-to-day life is like, maybe more so than if they were to go down to have lunch in the faculty room. We can talk with them more about what's going on in their classroom than, say, a math teacher can, because we know that music classrooms are so much different in many ways than other classes. So we like to say we're kind of also dabble in psychiatry for music educators.
Well, I think with psychiatry, that translates to the word you're supportive and caring and really Absolutely. Want them to be successful. And then we're part of that network. You also have another really important hat that you flip on often, you know, probably several times a week or certainly several times a month. And that is with the Pennsylvania Music Education Association. How long have you been involved with that statewide music education group?
So I've been a member of PMEA for probably 15 or more years, but I took on the role as advocacy chair probably about 10 or 11 years ago and led all of the advocacy and public policy efforts for the organization since.
And in that capacity, are you do you lead at the statewide advocacy effort to the Capitol? What does that comprise? What do you do in that role?
I do handle, you know, we do have a drive-in day every year, and that was kind of the signature advocacy event for the association. For the first few years, even before I started, that they had been doing advocacy work, and I was, you know, just kind of managing that day and planning what happens on that day. But we've really expanded over the past 10 years into trying to educate members about how they can advocate about public policy issues at the state level that can affect them. Really trying to partner with other organizations in the state, like the Visual Arts Educators Association, the dance folks, the theater folks, the school boards associations, and just other education groups that would have similar advocacy and policy requests as far as education goes as PMEA would. And then even in the past few years, with the passage of ESSA at the federal level, we have done a lot of work to really hopefully make that meaningful for PMEA members. To go to them and say, okay, here's what this means. Here's what the federal law means. And then here's what you can do. Here's what it means in Pennsylvania. Here's what you can do in your own district. As we were very involved in the work at the state level on writing the state ESSA plan, the state version of the federal law, to make sure that music and arts were appropriately included in that law. And then now we're just trying to pass it on to members and say, look, here's what it means, and here's how you can use it. So that's kind of a lot of what my work is in that PMEA policy world.
You know how I feel about you doing this work. I admire it so that you took every step that you saw that was ahead of you. What have you learned along the way, Mark? What was the things that you never thought you'd know that you know now in terms of all this advocacy work?
I never thought I would know this much about federal education policy or about the Pennsylvania Department of Education. And just kind of, you know, we all remember the video from when we were kids about how a bill becomes a law. Really understanding the other side of that now has been fascinating for me to realize, you know, what goes into it, what the nuances are, the nuances of decisions that are made and how that can impact other areas of education, other areas of things that are happening in schools. So from that kind of personal perspective of knowledge, that's what I learned there. But I really learned this kind of on a more broader thing is the importance of partnerships. We've worked so hard to make some things happen in Pennsylvania when it comes to policy, and we couldn't have done it alone. It was necessary to work with other groups and to get their input in, to have that little bit of give and take on what do we want and what makes sense. And finding out who are the right stakeholders, who are the right people to get involved. And interestingly enough, they might not always be the first people that you think of. We've worked with, like I said, the School Boards Association. While that might seem like somewhat of a natural fit, it always isn't a natural fit because they're working holistically. And they're working on issues like pension and things, and that's not something that we're necessarily working on. But yet we found ways, where do we partner with them? Where can we speak their language and have them speak our language? So it's really been my biggest takeaway, my biggest lesson from that work has been the value in partnerships and learning from other people, both the good and the bad, and then finding ways that we can work together to move our collective goals forward.
Yeah, that's so well put, Mark. Thank you for sharing that. And it's just kind of the essence of coalition building, and it's the essence of creating action around an issue. You know, we often say with our concern for music education, you know, it's almost 100% people really care about it. But how do we actually get it done? And you've taken the deep dive, not only to learn about it, but then also to keep knitting these groups together. Well, the essence kind of the annual gathering of the Coalition to Support Music Education is coming up in about a month. We'll be meeting in Anaheim, California for the NAMM Show, January 16, 17, 18, 19. We have at the NAMM Show, through the NAMM Foundation, a very big program that supports music education through our Music Education Days, also our Gen Next program for college music students and music faculty, and our Nonprofit Management Institute. All of that information about the NAMM Show and those programs is at NAMMFoundation.org or NAMM.org, where you can register to participate. But you help us in so many ways at the NAMM Show, but particularly we have on Saturday morning at the NAMM Show what we call the Music Education Showcases. First of all, tell us, how long have you been going to the NAMM Show and why do you go?
So I think I've been going, I would have to total it up, but I think it's been about 15 years that I've been going to Winter NAMM and Summer NAMM. And it truly is a not to miss thing for a variety of reasons. One, from a business perspective, because this is a great chance to actually see and hold product. So for a business, it's important for me to be there and actually look at product that maybe potentially we would stock or things that are coming down the line from vendors. It's important to meet with vendors because it's great to have a phone conversation or email conversations, but it's really that live interaction that you can have that's so important. And it's making those connections. So I can say, not only with vendors making connections, but then with just other folks in the industry that you've met along the way from being at the show. And I mean, I can honestly say that some of my best friends in the world I have met through participating and being involved in the industry and going to the NAMM show. So some of my best friends live hundreds of miles away from me, but I met them as a result of being involved in similar things or just meeting them at a show or a NAMM event. You mentioned that I'm past president of Young Professionals, and that was a group that I had joined many years ago when I truly was young. I'm not anymore. That's why I'm past president. But
yes, you are, Mark. You are still young.
So here's a group of industry folks that I would have never met, that I would have never met in any way had I not joined up with NAMM Young Professionals, because there's so many folks who aren't in the school music business that are a part of it that I wouldn't have necessarily come into contact with. And it's been a fascinating resource to talk about business and to understand each other's businesses and thus understand other parts of the industry, hear about how things are done in other parts of the country, but also just to become friends with these folks, again, all over the country. So there's just this tremendous business networking opportunity, but there's also this tremendous personal networking opportunity that really can only happen at the NAMM show. And a lot of people say like it's like a big family reunion, and maybe that's cliche, but actually I think it is true there are certain people that on certain nights of the show, we just know we have a standing dinner appointment. And that's just what we do, because that's just part of what happens when we go to the show. We know we will always be there. We will always show up at the show, and we will always be there for dinner because we're friends, and that's just what we do. And it's just part of that really family reunion experience. And it's kind of bizarre to say when there's 110,000 people descending and you can say that it's a family reunion, but it truly is.
And then we've invited into this family 2,500 music teachers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, again, such an important, and also college music, another 2,500 of them. So we, and in addition to our grand rally that happened Saturday morning, this year we're featuring Bobby McFerrin and the Gimme Five singers. You know, we're going to have some wonderful events, but you host the Music Education Showcases. You are the Pat Sajak of Music Education Showcases. What is the Showcases, and what's been your experience?
So this will be my second year hosting it, and it's just this really great program. It's just another one of these great programs that NAM and the NAM Foundation has come up with to provide value to, that it's not just about coming to a trade show and seeing product. There are all these other things. You mentioned the Grand Rally, and there's a lot of these other music advocacy type events, music nonprofit type events that are really add value. And the Music Educator Showcase, I think, is another one of those. When you go to the NAM show, you have to realize that time is precious. So you're only there for a few days, and there's just so much to take in. And you can't possibly see everything. You couldn't even possibly walk the entire show floor, I don't think, in that amount of days, and actually stop and see things. So what the showcases do is say, okay, we're going to take some things that are happening out there that are really important for music educators to see that they could potentially go back and use in their classroom, in their program, in their district, in their school, whatever it might be. And we're going to drill these down and give the presenters just a couple minutes to say, hey, here's what we are. Here's the brief introduction to us. If you want some more information, here's where you can find us, or you can talk to us right after the presentation. And I have to tell you, just from last year hosting it 1 year, I was blown away at the things that I saw at this. Again, I've been coming to the NAM show for probably 15 years. And there are things that I saw here, I said, man, I didn't even know that that was a thing. I didn't even know that was something that was offered, because maybe it is a service that a company offers that isn't necessarily, you know, like the new trumpet they're offering, but it's this great service that they can offer that would be valuable to music educators. Well, it can be presented here during the Music Educator Showcases. So it's these great kind of real quick things. Hey, here's what it is. Here's some information. If you want some more, learn some more, here's where you can find us, or you can talk to us right after the presentation. It's a fantastic way to spend a couple hours, and you get to sit down, which is really important.
Right, there's a place in the member center to sit down, and they're 5 minutes long, right? And I think that we've got funny sound effects, and you know, the 5 minute presentation, I think there's 10 of them within an hour, and then there's about 10, and then there's a networking, and then the next showcase starts, right? And it's curriculum, it's nonprofit programs, it's NAM members, exhibitors that have a new music education product that they want to, and it's just kind of fun and lively from what I've seen. And the audience is really engaged. Is that kind of what you're experiencing too?
Yeah, so what's cool about it is it's not just about here's what the products are, okay? Because, okay, we get that. I mean, that's part of what the show is. We can all see what the new trumpet is or what the new type of reed is. And that's important, and that's great. We want to see that. But there's also things in here that you don't know that you don't know. You don't know that you need. You don't know that could be something that would be valuable for your program. I was just kind of looking over the list of some things that will be at this year's showcase. There's some things that are programs that manufacturers are offering. There's some things that are programs that nonprofits are offering. So you might not even know that information is out there. And so someone coming and telling you about it. One of the cool things that I see that's on here, and I'm not going to list all of the different sessions, but one of them is about melodicas. So the Melodica Men are performing at the show. And if you've never seen them, you have to make sure you see them. They're incredible. I've seen them in person. It's fantastic. But what they've said is, we're going to take this idea of melodicas and we're going to try to help educators transfer this into their classroom. And I think that's a fantastic way to maybe hook some different kids and to have some fun in your music classroom. So they're going to be presenting, and I'm just sure that's going to be a really fun and really lively 5 minutes, having seen them perform in the past. So it's a whole variety of things at the showcase, and hosting it, I've learned so much. And I know I see that's the reaction from those that are in the audience who are those music educators there and say, boy, this is something I can take back and use in my program.
Yeah, well, we can't wait. No, we're so grateful for your involvement, because having a NAMM member host this just means so much to us. Those of you who don't know Mark, how tall are you, Mark?
I'm 6'4", so you can't miss.
As my father used to say, he's a very large, tall glass of water, very tall. And I've kidded Mark that in his capacity as hosting this little game show, we need to have him in a sequin dinner jacket, but he hasn't quite bought that idea. So maybe we need to have a campaign or something. But come as you are, Mark. We love you just as you are. To wrap up, Mark, in your very important role as state advocacy chair for the State Music Education Association, PMEA, your great work with the NAMM Young Professionals Program, and you served on our board in that capacity, which was always great to have you with us on the NAMM board. Your work with the Music Education Showcases, you must have really taken in, some strong thoughts about what should someone who really believes in music education do? What's the essence, if you could wrap it all up in terms of someone who said, oh, my community has this great program, I really care about it. What if you could add maybe three things, or three or four? I'll give you a lot of leeway here. What is your advice to our listeners in terms of what we all need to do and every person needs to do to be supporting music education?
Well, I think one of them is getting involved. So you look at a program, you say, boy, I think that's really important what they're doing. How do you get involved in that program? So is it finding the teacher or the director and saying, what do you need? How can I support you? Is it finding the booster organization and saying, what do you need? How can I support you? And maybe that's a financial donation. Maybe that's buying some hoagies. Maybe that's volunteering at an event and helping out. Because the more community buy-in, of course, the great value that there is in that. Is it if you're a resident of a community and you know that your music program is really important and it's really valuable? Is it so much as going to a school board meeting, literally getting up during the public comment section and talking about that? That's super, super important. Is it to the point of just being there and being supportive? You know, when I speak at concerts, one of the programs that NAMM does is the Best Communities for Music Education. And I have the great privilege to go out and present a lot of those designations to districts in our area. And when I'm speaking to the audience, I always say, you know, look at how amazing this concert was, and look at how amazing these kids were, and look how much work they have put into this. What I challenge all of you as the audience to do is to go home and do some homework now as well. And that homework is to go and thank your administrators for the support that they receive, for support that they are giving to these programs, that these programs are receiving from the administrators. Because that's important for an administrator to hear, to understand that the community does see this and the community does understand this. Just a few weeks ago, I was lucky enough to see you in Indianapolis at Grand Nationals, Bands of America Grand Nationals, Grand National Marching Band Championships. And it's some of the best marching band programs in the country. And there was one program that I kind of ended up fangirling over for the whole week, that I was just so impressed with what they were doing. And afterwards, I found them on social media and I reached out to them, and I ended up corresponding with a parent there. And I was just saying, you know, it's just really impresses me what this program is like and what these kids are doing and how proud you must be as a parent to have your kids in this. And she said, boy, that's just so meaningful to hear something like that from somebody who's not part of our community, who's not a taxpayer here, who is somebody who's just seen this and says that. And she said, I want to pass it on to the kids. Is that okay if I would do that? And of course I said, yes, but that's just kind of an example of a little thing that you can do of just showing your support. Literally showing your support and saying, boy, this is an amazing thing that you're doing. And then going back to my first point of, you know, and how can I help? Is there a way that I can help? Is it funding? Is it fundraising? Is it, I'll come and help you build props for the marching band? Is it, I'll come and help sell 50-50 tickets or whatever it might be? showing up and being there is the most important thing that you possibly could do to help these programs, because these kids are working so hard. So when there's folks in the audience to see what they're doing and to appreciate what they're doing, that's probably also one of the best things that you can do for students, is just being there and supporting.
You know, Mark, I think what you've described is something that every person can do. The work that you've chosen to do on the state and the work that we get to do together on the national level when we do our fly-in and other things is kind of the next step of going deeper into policy. But you've also just described, you know, the motto of our support music advocacy work is relentlessly positive. Let's just go out and show that we care, right? I mean, it's just in our words and our deeds. I think thanking a school administrator is one of the most effective things that we can do to say we really value your support for this program. And boy, when people are appreciated, they approach everything differently. So really great words. Any final thoughts, Mark? What's ahead for you besides the NAMM show?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the NAMM show. I'm quickly working on planning my schedule for the NAMM show, planning out our 2020 Advocacy Day for PMEA, which will be on March 23rd. If anyone in Pennsylvania is listening and wants to join us in Harrisburg. And then we're just, you know, we're working at that level on some policy things and some partnership things with our Department of Education. We've been lucky enough to have some work done in Pennsylvania with Little Kids Rock to get this modern band movement happening in Pennsylvania schools. We're now helping spread the word about that. So a lot of work ahead in 2020, but we're certainly excited for it.
That's great. Mark, you're my hero. Can't wait to see you at the NAMM show. And I thank you so much for joining us today with Mark Despotakis, the Market Development Director from Progressive Music, State Advocacy Chair of the Pennsylvania Music Education Association. But even though he doesn't yet have a glittery jacket, the host of Music Education Showcases at the NAMM show. Mark, happy holidays. Thanks so much for joining us.
Same to you. Thank you, Mary.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.